Let's turn now for our scripture reading, two passages of scripture in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, commencing our reading at the verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Let us hear together God's word. The Lord help us instruct our hearts. May we listen in a way that is worship and praiseworthy and with the intent to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. This is the word of the Lord. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, for the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. We now turn to Proverbs 18, and we read some verses there from Proverbs chapter 18, just a few pages over, verse 1. Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of a wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Amen. We end the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant, sacred word there, and we pray that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts here this afternoon. Let us pray. Let us draw near. Well, dear congregation, I ask you now to please turn your prayerful attention to that first reading that I read to you in your hearing this evening. And what I wish to do with the Lord's help, we read from two passages of the book of Proverbs. And if we know anything about the book of Proverbs, we know that there is a constant contrast and comparison between the saved and the unsaved, between the lost and the found, between the righteous and the wicked. When we speak of the righteous, we mean of those that God who has made righteous, not righteous in themselves, but they are looking and trusting in the righteousness of God's dear Son for salvation. And as we turn to Proverbs 16 and look, first of all, there at the verse 2, I want to consider verses 1 to 6, but first of all, I want to bring two verses to our minds as we begin, and by way of introduction this evening. First of all, from Proverbs 16, 2, and then Proverbs 18, 12, and then we'll come back to Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 6. Proverbs 16, 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And then in Proverbs 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty or proud, and before honor is humility. Now, we could just preach, I suppose, on these two texts, if you like, because there's so much. We are really given an explanation as to why a man thinks he's clean in his own eyes. We're told there, Proverbs 16, 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. What's the explanation of that? Well, we could rightly say, because the heart of a man is haughty. Proverbs 18, 12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Why are people destroyed? Why do men go to hell? Well, there are two reasons. But one of them we could say is man is proud. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, is proud. And here, by way of contrast, Proverbs 18, verse 12, and before honor is humility. If ever a man is expected or is to anticipate going to heaven and to enter into the glory of God, there must be humility. Before honor, there's humility. Nobody ever gets to heaven because he's good. Read the text, Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's how every human being in this world, my friend, imagines himself. He thinks he is clean. Why? Because he has a God of his own imaginations. We read this morning from Psalm 51 where God says, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether like thyself." We like to have a God like ourselves, because that kind of God will like us, because we love ourselves. Do we not? We love ourselves and we think we're good. We like to imagine we're good. And there is nothing in that but pride. And as we read, pride goeth before destruction. What is the immediate sequel to destruction? Pride. It's like the shadow. You see my hand? And the light coming there, and there's a shadow. The shadow tells me there's a hand. And the shadow of destruction is pride. And if you are sat here tonight, and you think you're clean, and you can present yourself before a holy God, I tell you, I must warn you. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But before honor is humility. He that humbles himself before the Almighty God of heaven and earth shall be exalted in due time. James tells us, Peter tells us. And so would we hear God's word tonight. As God speaks to us by his word is truth. We are told here in Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to look at some of these verses here tonight. By nature, as God looks down from heaven, we're told in the Psalms, he sees that none doeth good, no, not one. God looks down from heaven, we're told in Psalm 14, and he sees that there are none righteous, no, not one. And Paul exclaims this in Romans 3. They're all together gone out of the way. Friends, as God looks upon the mass of the 8 billion people of this world, unless they're saved, they're proud. Man by nature is born haughty. All the ways of the man are clean in his own eyes. That's the problem. People don't look through the eyes of Scripture. People do not look through the eyes of Almighty God. Friends, the only correct lens to look at yourself is by the Word of God. This is why many people do not like to read the Word of God, because it is like a mirror. You walk into the mirror sometimes, you walk out the mirror, and maybe we don't like what we see, especially when we're getting older. But friends, the mirror doesn't lie. And God's word never lies. This word is given by one shepherd. And it is hard, as the Lord said to Paul upon that road of Damascus. It is hard to kick against the goads. We are told in Ecclesiastes 12 that the words of the Lord and the words of the preacher are given by one shepherd. There is goads. And so often we kick against the goads, but you know what? That's nothing but pride. And sinners will meet with a horrible end. before indeed destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But I want to look, as we come to verses 1 to the verse 6, here of Proverbs 16 this evening, and preach somewhat of the gospel. I trust the glorious gospel from this passage. You know, as I said, the book of Proverbs, if you were to study the book of Proverbs, there's a constant contrast between the saved and the unsaved, between the lost and those who are found. And if you're here tonight, let your ears prick up and hear God's word. I begin with something that really points to providence. And this is how it works concerning providence. Notice we do see providence in verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That is a most solemn and searching verse. Now, of course, the scriptures tell us in Acts 17 that God has appointed the bounds and the habitation of when and where men should live in this world. As God looks at this world and as he looks at sinners, we're all come out of one lump, Adam. We're told there by the Apostle Paul in Acts 17 that by one blood, God has made many nations. By nature, all are lost. And God could have, if he wanted to have, but it was not his plan, it was not his purpose. He could have said, that's it, Adam. You'll not have a progeny. I'll end the world today. I'll end it now. But God has determined where men should live. And what comes out of your mouth, although you are absolutely responsible for what has ever come out of your mouth, what has come out of your heart, let me say, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God ordained where you should live, what kind of parents you should have, what kind of education you should have. You need to see yourself, first of all, in Adam, lost. And if any eloquent words have ever come out of your mouth, it is because God has either given you the education, the opportunity to learn. He has ordained and fixed time. The days of your life are all determined by God. They're not determined by you. And what should ever come out of your mouth, the Lord has ordained. Although you are a moral being, let me repeat that, you are a moral being. While we look at this verse and we can say God is absolutely sovereign, you are a moral agent. You have a soul, you have a conscience, and you are aware of it. And the very fact that you should come here tonight and hear the word of Almighty God, even that is ordained of God. That is ordained of God. We saw those two men this morning, didn't we, in 2 Samuel 4, who did a wicked thing and killed King Ishbosheth. And they said that was of the Lord, but while God providentially ordained it, they did it out of their wicked hearts, just like Pharaoh. All that Pharaoh did was ordained of God. And it came from a wicked heart. And it seems that the more God showed him that he is God and Pharaoh was not God, Pharaoh's heart became harder and harder and harder, didn't it? Who can resist, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, God's will. And yet you have no excuse for what has come out of your mouth. You say the things that you want to say. You have said things that I know and you know right well that have bothered your conscience and have given you sleepless nights. Don't ever blame God for those thoughts and those words that you've said. You are responsible. You are a moral agent. But remember this. There are times when God is pleased to humble sinners and to show them their sin. And how does He do that? Does He do that through showing you the plants and the fauna and the fauna and the trees and the leaves out? No, He doesn't do that. You can look out there and you can look at all the trees and the birds and the things that God has made. And you can marvel at those things. And there will be a sense of the power and the majesty and the glory of God in all that you see. And you look at yourself, though, and you see, but you are a dying creature in this world. But what about your soul? God's Word deals with our soul. And this is what this verse is dealing with. Verse 2, although God has determined things, and whatever comes out of your mouth may come because you have grown up in a family where there's bad language and there's bad talk. But anyway, look, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You see, despite the way a man lives, he says, I'm good. Because he never looks up. And he never really looks within. He lives in this world and he makes a god of his own imagination. But here you must be reminded of this, friend. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. And you know that you're not good. You've got a conscience. That's why when you lie, you try to cover it up, don't you? You never go to a job interview and you never start boasting of all the terrible things that you've done. You would dare do that, you'd never get a job. Would you? Because you know these things are wrong and we become ashamed, embarrassed. But you know there's a lot more. One day, God will expose everything that we have ever done before His great white throne of judgment. The books will be opened up and we read, men shall be judged for their deeds. The Lord weighs the spirits of a man. The Lord weighs the motives and why people do things and say things. You think you're clean, but you know the Lord searches the hearts. He tries the reins of a man. He knows why you say and do certain things. The Lord weighs the spirits. And you know what? As the Lord weighs the spirits, He finds men like Belteshazzar, wanting, weighed in the balance, and wanting. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. But how few people do that in this life. Commit thy works unto the Lord. You know, the Bible says even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Why? A man may plow the straightest furrow in the fields and he might be out there from dawn to dusk. But it's wicked. Because he doesn't thank God for his life and all that he's able to enjoy from the plowing. Able to enjoy in this world even the plowing of the wickedest sin. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Thy thoughts. You see, this is what it really is. I want to address those of you who are not Christians. As a Christian, we commit our works to the Lord. Why should I do this? What is my motive for doing something? Or not doing something? Who am I serving? Do the wicked commit their works to the Lord? No, they commit their works to themselves. Is this going to better me? Is this going to be an improvement upon my CV? Is this going to be something that is going to give me more money? Is this something that other people are going to praise me for in life? These people will not be established. Their lives and the whole motive and the whole reason why they have worked and labored will one day be exposed. But you know, the Lord can indeed, we say this and we need to say this, sweep a man's way, life away suddenly in youth. Now I want to address you young people. You may be planning for university. You may be planning many things. But the Lord can take your life before you ever enter into university. Before you ever enter into anything. You may have designs to do this, to do that in life. But you may never make it. Think of the man who was building bigger barns. He had a great crop. He had a great yield. But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I tell you what, if you are not serving God, you're a fool. Because all that you have will be quickly taken away. If you're serving yourself, and if you're living like a little god or a goddess in this world, my friend, you'll soon meet with the living God, and you will give an account. But you know what? If you, as we read here, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, what you have will be laid up in heaven. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. For where your heart is, that's where your treasure shall be. Will it not? Who are you doing it for? Who are you living for? My friend, if you are not trusting in the Lord, if you think that you're clean in your own eyes, you're living for yourself, but you're unclean before God. And all that you have will soon be lost, and you'll have nothing, nothing to show for in the end. Christians, you know, they may work hard in this life, and the Lord will bless them in this life, and they'll be blessed in the life to come. Because whatever they're doing now is for the Lord, and they're laying up treasures in heaven. The Lord said, whatever they do for the least of His people, He will never forget. He will never forget. You see, the Bible is constantly comparing through the book of Proverbs the life of the saved and the unsaved. God's people, they understand that they're unclean. And therefore they are just so humbly thankful to serve God that God has not cast them already into hell, but they are trusting in the Lord Jesus. And this is where I want to point to now, because there are some, we could say, evangelical verses in what follows. The Lord hath made all things, verse 4, for Himself. You remember that. Even the wicked, for the day of evil. Yes, even evil that comes in the world. I want you to know that God is on His throne. And He is absolutely sovereign over all things. And the Scriptures say that the wrath of man shall praise God, while men go to do evil things against God, and even may despise God and despise His church and despise the truth. You know what? The wrath of man shall praise God. Your foolishness will be exposed for what it is. And your heart will be exposed for what it is. You know, my friend, there is a God in heaven. Your heart tells you. The Word of God confirms that God has written eternity upon men's hearts. That's why men, you know, at their funerals, they want all these kind of hymns like Abide With Me, and Psalm 23, and all, they want comfort, 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 when there can be no comfort for them. Because they like to soothe their souls, don't they? With the thought that there is peace with them. But there is no peace. The evil man, he lives for himself in this life. And I want to remind you here from this text, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Who raised up Pharaoh? We're told in Romans 9, God raised up Pharaoh so that he would show his power, so that he would show his destruction over wickedness. Day after day, months and years, God was showing his power to Pharaoh. Plague upon plague. The human heart, my friends, is so hard. Pharaoh said that he would repent many times, but he never truly did. He had sorrow. But what about you? Maybe you've had sorrow. Maybe calamities and difficulties have come in your life. Maybe you've had illness. Has illness brought you to the point of repentance? That's a solemn thing if it hasn't. You see how hard your heart is? You see how wicked your heart is? Not even brought to the precipice where you could have slipped away into a lost eternity and God could have taken you. Your heart is hard. But there's a reminder. God has even made the wicked for the day of evil. But also there is a great day of evil when God will judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has appointed, Jesus Christ, by raising him from the dead. Evil men put him to death. But God raised him up. And you may try in your conscience to put Christ to death. But he lives. He's in heaven. You may try to silence the Bible, my dear friend, but you can't. You can't silence the truth. You know the truth. Maybe you have sat under ministry for many a year, and it has been gnawing away at your conscience. So what is the way? What is the way of peace with God? I remind you again, look at verse 5. It comes to us again. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So, my friend, I say to you, do not be proud. The Word of God tells you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because proud is an abomination. If there is one thing that sinners should not be in this world, is proud. That's one thing we should never be. Have we got anything to be proud about? Did we bring anything into this world? Can we take anything out of this world? Can you give yourself one extra day of life? You can't. If there is one thing that we should never be, is proud. The wicked are proud. And it's a proud thing, isn't it, to say that I have no need of Christ, that I have no need of forgiveness. Because verse 1 says, verse 2, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. How do you assess yourself, my friend? By your own standards? By the standards of this world? What folly! What foolishness! It's like going from one country to another and saying, well, we do things this way in England, we can do it there. The laws change. The laws of God are completely different to your laws, my friend. Utterly different. God is holy. God is pure. Now, I want you to notice, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You may try to gather all your mates and your friends and stand before Almighty God, you will not stand before the living God. He shall not be unpunished. Now notice, verse 6 really comes as what we call a cordial, a kind. God is speaking here now, and he is saying, this is the way. This is the way. What is the problem? The problem is sin. Pride is sin, isn't it? It's at the heart. I am my own person. I will live how I want. God will not tell me how to live. No, nobody else will tell me how to live. I will live my own life. But notice, friend, this comes as a kind. This comes as a cordial tonight. By mercy and truth, iniquity or sin is purged. You see there the word by mercy and truth, or mercy and justice. That's the word actually translated, by mercy and justice. And that's who the Lord Jesus is. He is that tender mercy that has come from on high, that we read of in Luke, when that pronunciation came, that the Lord would come into this world. This is the tender mercy from on high. He has come to bring judgment. We read literally unto the Gentiles, deliverance, truth, by mercy and truth. We could say Jesus Christ is not only truth, he is truth incarnate, but you know what? Justice fell on Jesus Christ. The other word I say again, by mercy and truth, it's literally the word righteousness or justice. Iniquity or sin is purged, taken out of the way. It is only by the mercy, first of all, of Jesus Christ that you could ever be right, or I could ever be right with God, that sin, notice, or iniquity is purged. We're told in Hebrews 1 verse 3 that Christ purged the sins of all of his people there upon the cross. As he came into this world, he is called the last Adam, and he is the mercy that God sent. Why? Because, my friend, he lived the life that nobody on this planet could ever live. His entire life was spotless obedience to his Father. The Father said, at least on two occasions, when men heard his voice, there was a voice heard from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." But you know what? When the voice comes down from heaven in the Psalm 14, God looks down from heaven and he sees none righteous, not you, not me, nobody is righteous. But God the Father could look down, as it were, and say, "This is my beloved Son." My friends, who is he? He's not just the Son of God, but he is God the Son. All things were made by him and for him. Without him, nothing that is made was not made. Everything was made by Jesus Christ. And it is by the mercy and the truth. He is mercy and truth. They kiss together mercy and justice, the justice and the righteousness of God. And you think about it, what happened at Calvary? God's mercy kissed with his justice, and peace was made. By mercy and truth, iniquity or sin is purged. He who is truth, he who never lied, think about it, justice fell on him. Justice fell on him. And what foolishness for dirty sinners such as you and I to say we are clean. Well, that's what the Pharisees said, we are clean. They also said, "We have Abraham, our father." Well, Abraham The Lord Jesus said, saw my day and was glad. He rejoiced in the Savior to come. We sang of Abraham, didn't we, in that glorious hymn? Number 443. It's a marvelous hymn. And I don't know if you noticed some of the words that were there in that hymn pointed out concerning what Abraham actually believed. Abraham believed that God, because God swore by an oath, didn't he? Isn't that what we read in Genesis 15? That God swore by himself that Abraham would have a people as vast as the sands of the seashore, but they would be a people by what would come out of the loins of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Who would come from the seed of Abraham but the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul in Galatians 3 says, not to seeds, but to seed. And he says, who is Christ? But he would have to die. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Except a grain of corn fall into the ground and it die, it shall abide alone. And you see, it is by the mercy of Jesus Christ, as it were, that came from heaven to live as a man and then to die and to suffer, and then he would have to be, as it were, put in the grave, having borne the curse and the wrath of all who would ever believe upon him, as he lived for them, and then as he died for them, and as the justice of God fell upon Christ, that iniquity is purged, that sin is taken out of the way. We're told in Hebrews that he put away sin by the death of himself. He put away the sin of his people, friends. And you see, there's absolutely no way under this earth that sinners could ever go to heaven without Jesus Christ. Every man is clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits of the man. You know, we look on the outward of people, and people see how you live, but you know what? They can't see your heart. But God knows the heart of everyone, and as he looks at our hearts, friends, we're all sinners. As he looks at us and he surveys, he says, they're in Adam or they're in Christ. If they're in Christ, they have believed upon him. They have a new heart. And what is that heart? It says, Lord, I thank thee for thy mercy. I thank thee for the Lord Jesus. I thank thee for the truth. I thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast exposed the truth to my heart and told me that I am a sinner. I know, Lord, I've known it all these years, but I rightly confess it now. And notice, by mercy and truth, iniquity or sin is purged, that is put out the way. And notice, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The psalmist tells us that there is mercy with the Lord, that he may be feared. And you see, it is out of a sense of being forgiven that men fear the Lord. We say, how can I offend God who in his love sent his dear Son to die for me, to suffer for me? The Christian now looks and in his own heart, he says, what a wretch I am. What a poor specimen of a human being I am. But he can say, Lord, by the fear of you, I will depart from evil. Lord, as I look to all thy love for me in Jesus Christ, as I consider that amazing love that sent my dear Son into this world, Lord, how can I now live to my sin any longer? Friend, you know, sin is an ugly thing, isn't it? The Apostle Paul says, the wages of sin is death. What does sin bring you? It makes you less of a person. Stop and think about it. When you lie, you look so ignoble. You embarrass yourself, for goodness sake. You humiliate yourself when you're unkind to people. Do you feel proud about it? When you lie and you steal and you cheat, the wages of sin is death. It's not life, is it? I'm speaking, first of all, death in terms of what it is to experience life now. The wages of sin now in this life, if you live a life and you give yourself over to master sin, you don't enjoy life. Look at these people who throw themselves into all kinds of wickedness. You really think they're enjoying their life? They're making animals of themselves, for goodness sake. We are made in the image of God. But you know, the wages of sin is also the second death. It'll take us to hell. And it is only by the mercy that God sent and justice falling upon His Son on behalf of His people who believe upon Him that their sin is taken away, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord, one man said, to fear God, to know God is to fear God. My friend, do you know God? Let me ask you, do you know Him? I'm not asking, do you know the name G-O-D? I'm asking, do you know what He's like? It's amazing when you ask some people what their idea of God is. You have some bizarre notions. Well, I believe God is it, and I believe God. It's always what they believe, not what they've been reading or what they've read in the Word of God. God is holy, infinitely holy, pure, can have nothing to do with sin. And when you understand that, you see your sinfulness and you see your vileness before God. And you say, God, how could I ever be clean? But it is by mercy and truth. We read, don't we, in the Gospel of John, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior who came into this world, we read concerning the Lord Jesus, John says this, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so on he tells us. And then he says, in the verse 14, and the Word, which is Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full, now notice, of grace and truth. That is who the Lord Jesus is. He came as the man of grace and the man of truth, the man of righteousness, and justice fell on Him. And it is by the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved and that we are changed and that we are prepared for heaven. He is the only way in which sinners are accepted. Now, my friend, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's the world. I want to ask you, what person are you? There are only two kinds of people in this world. There are people that are lost and people that are saved. A Christian says, I'm not clean. An unbeliever says, I'm clean. Or he might say, I'm not clean. But actually, if he really believed that, if he believed that he was not unclean, would he not repent? Would he not confess his sin? The Bible says men think that they are clean. Men are liars. You know, many people say, oh, I've prayed, but I'm not saved. You've never really prayed, my friend. I'm telling you, on account of God's word, you've never really prayed. You've never really repented. Because my Bible says all that repent will be saved. You've come with half honesty to God. You've not really come sincerely. He searches the heart of everybody that comes to him. The Pharisee prayed. Yes, he prayed. But he prayed he wasn't... He thanked God he wasn't like other people. He thanked God he went to church. He thanked God he was good. He thought he was good. To really pray is to repent and to acknowledge yourself before God and to cast yourself on the mercy that is in Jesus Christ. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigh the spirits. I close with that first verse, or the second verse that I gave to you there in Proverbs 18. What do we have? Those words. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, proud. People go to hell in their pride. People go to hell in their sin. The Lord Jesus said to those in his day, if ye believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. What does he mean, if ye believe not that I am he, the Messiah, the sent one, the one who came in mercy and in truth, that justice would fall upon him? Sinners don't want to believe the gospel report. But I pray God will open up your eyes to yourself and to your sin and show you, like he's shown me and he's shown others, we are unclean. And it's only the Lord Jesus that will ever make a soul clean, friend. You can only go to heaven by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord, I would urge you, with all your heart. We pray for you, for your soul. Have you felt like Job? Job said, behold, I am vile. Isaiah said, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. The Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. May God give you a sight of your sin. It's a sight you've got to see, friend. If ever you would be saved, God give you a sight of your sin, and then may God give you a sight of his Son. That's what sinners need. May God be pleased to do it for his glory. Amen.